All right, here we go. According to the NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcast, a group of Phillies fans dubbed the Fandemic Crew have congregated behind the center field wall to cheer from afar since their opening weekend series against the Miami Marlins. And during the third inning of the Yankees-Phillies series finale, the Fandemic Crew broke out air horns while New York was batting. On Wednesday, the Fandemic Crew brought a drum line to play outside center field. Aaron Boone complained. The umpires didn't take action. Is what this group of Philly fans doing fair game?
Of course it is. They're not inside the stadium. What did Aaron Boone think the umpires could do? Walk outside the stadium and tell them to stop? They're not even inside the building. Aaron Boone, just shut up. I mean, seriously, what did Aaron Boone think the umpires could do?
Yeah, the umpires obviously cannot do anything to somebody that is not actually in the ballpark. But, you know, it gives me an idea.
Think?
If we're not allowed into Dodger Stadium by the time the Astros get here in late September, does this not give us an option?
It's September 12th and 13th they're going to be here. Yeah, but you're one of those nights you have a Ram game. You would have
yeah,
to go
the
to
13th
this.
Is the opener, but the 12th?
Yeah.
It's BYOAH.
Bring your own air horn?
Yes!
But are you even allowed? Are they even allowing people inside Dodger Stadium?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. I will check with Stan the next time I talk to him.
There you go.
There you go.
Exactly. All right, Oakland A's bench coach Ryan Christensen apologized Thursday for unintentionally making a gesture resembling a Nazi salute. Following the A's win over the Texas Rangers, Christensen was seen on camera extending his right arm in the air as the team was making its way off the field, engaging in elbow bump celebrations with coaches. When one player said, "No, put that down, it doesn't look good," Christensen did it again. After the game, he issued this statement, quote, "I made a mistake and will not deny it. Today in the dugout, I greeted players with a gesture that was offensive. In the world today of COVID, I adapted our elbow bump, which we do after wins, to create some distance with the players. My gesture unintentionally resulted in a racist and horrible salute that I do not believe in. What I did is unacceptable, and I deeply apologize." End quote. Mace, if you're the A's, do you accept his apology and move on, or do you need to do more?
No, this guy had no idea what he was doing. He was making a gesture. He thought he was trying to come up with a way to congratulate a player without actually touching them. It is an unfortunate look. If you look at the pictures, it's a very, very bad look. But I don't believe for a second that was that guy's intent.
So you would just let the apology stand and move on?
Yes, I would.
Yeah,
do you really think he knew he was doing a Nazi salute?
No, I don't, but I don't think you can just let it go with nothing either. I'd suspend him for a game and let him come back.
Come on, you cannot suspend him for a game.
One game. What's one game?
You'd be a really pleasant commissioner, by the way.
Yeah, very. Over 60 NFL players have opted out of the 2020 season because of the coronavirus pandemic. Players had until 4 o'clock yesterday to decide, and after the deadline passed, a spokesperson for the NFL told CNN that out of 2,880 players, 66 chose to opt out. John, if you were a player, would you choose to play or to opt out?
It's a good question. Football is the one sport that I would seriously consider opting out of because I think it's really risky. But I've also decided that COVID's here for a while. I mean, we're going to have to learn to live with it. And if I was a football player, I'd probably rather play than not play. So it would be a hard choice, but I think I would play.
Yeah, it's a really hard choice. If I was a football player, I think I would play. It's, you know, these guys are going to be out there on the front lines of this thing. And there are, I don't think the NFL has their protocols together yet. I've not seen any COVID numbers from any NFL camp. Have you?
No. And I think most players have tested negative, haven't they?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the testing protocol is or exactly who has been tested or what the results are. I don't know any of that stuff. But if I was a player, I would play. But completely, like we said with Avery Bradley, completely understand anybody who chooses to opt out of the season.
Mace, the private dancer who put on a show at Magic City for Lou Williams.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Her name is Aries, is upset that people are now calling her a snitch. She answered some questions from an LA Times reporter who in turn published an article that established Lou went into Magic City for more than just wings. On her Instagram account, Magic City Aries asked this question, quote, "How am I a snitch when it's already confirmed he came to Magic City to eat and relax after a funeral? I'm confused. Everybody leave me the F alone." End quote. Lemon Pepper Lou returned to the Clippers on Tuesday after going through a 10-day quarantine. Is Aries the private dancer guilty of being a snitch in this situation?
Well, already, I think it was Travis Harlow is the one that
Jack
tagged
Harlow.
Lou. Who is it?
You don't know any rappers. Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow. Tagged him in an Instagram post or a Twitter. I think it was an Instagram post.
There's so Jack Harlow.
Technically, he was snitching.
But is Aries snitching?
Well, I mean, yeah, she is. I mean, she's made this a completely different story for Lemon Pepper Lou.
You've said in this scenario you would snitch.
Not if I was a private dancer.
You'll only snitch if you're inside the bubble?
I don't know. Aren't strippers supposed to keep private what goes on inside strip clubs?
You say stripper. I say private dancer. Aries, I side with Aries. Private dancers are people, too.
She had to do was say no.
Leave her alone. Hey, Kawhi thinks it's
Kawhi!
Funny.
All right. A total of 8 New England Patriots opted out of the 2020 season. That includes stars like Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung. Do you believe in the Bill Belichick conspiracy theory that's going around that the Patriots are planning to tank for Trevor? That's Trevor Lawrence.
Mace, you know I believe in most, if not all, conspiracy theories. Of course I believe in the Bill Belichick conspiracy theory. Of course I think that this is all part of Belichick's master plan. And by the way, if he starts Jared Stidham ahead
of Cam Newton,
then I know for a fact he's tanking. But yeah,
Jared
I think
Stidham
be
it is. Yeah, it's strange that that many players, and particularly those real impact players, have opted out of the Patriots camp. Do I think they're going to tank? No, I don't. I don't think they're going to tank. I don't think they can be bad enough to be the worst team in the league. I still think they're going to compete with Buffalo for the AFC East title. So I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. I think Jared Stidham is going to lead them to the playoffs, John.
Jared Stidham's not even going to play. Mace, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, the Lakers take on the Indiana Pacers in the bubble. One of the guys who plays for the Pacers is forward T.J. Warren, who has been a decent player in his 6 seasons in the NBA. But in the bubble, he has exploded. Here's Warren's first 3 games. Game 1, 53 points with 9 threes. Whew. Game 2, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 3 steals, and 4 blocks, which is a career high. Game 3, 32 points on 13 of 17 from the field.
Wow.
Warren's efficiency has been excellent also. He's shooting 65% from the field and 61% from 3. Now, yesterday against Phoenix, he reverted a little bit back to his usual numbers, scoring 16 points and grabbing 11 rebounds. Still, the two leading scorers in the bubble are James Harden and TJ Warren. They have the identical scoring average. How do you explain this? A guy can get hot for one game, but this is over 4 games, and he's in his 6th year. What is happening here?
Well, I think none of the normal rules apply in the bubble, and it is possible that he just got hot, John. I mean, you've seen players
for
get hot.
For 4 games?
Well, you said the third game.
Fourth game, he kind of came down to
earth. Fourth game, he came down to earth. I think it's totally possible to hit a hot streak. It's really impressive. He's kind of the talk of the bubble. I mean, if you were to say who are the best players in the bubble been, you would say he would be on the list. Him, Giannis, and James Harden would probably be the top three.
Dame, too.
I think Dame
ahead
Lillard.
Of Giannis. Yeah.
Yeah. But those are probably the best players in the bubble. Yeah, it's amazing, but I think he just hit a hot streak. All right, the More Than a Vote organization, started by LeBron James and other black athletes and entertainers, announced last week that it will help Floridians with prior felony convictions register to vote in the November election. More Than a Vote said it will donate $100,000 to the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition's fund for Floridians struggling to pay off outstanding fees and fines associated with their felony convictions before they register to vote. John, do you believe that felons should be allowed to vote?
Well, I actually do. I don't think that if you commit a felony, it should cost you your right to vote. I know that it's been different in the past, but... particularly if you've served your time, why wouldn't you be allowed to vote? What's the argument to not allow them to vote?
Yeah, see, I've always thought if you have paid for your crime, if you went to jail, if you went to prison, and you served your time, you did your time, and you get out, you should be restored to full citizenship. I think you should be allowed to vote. And what's going on in Florida is they passed a ballot referendum that allows felons to vote. And what Florida is doing is saying, yeah, but you need to pay for all of your prior felony convictions. You need to pay for outstanding fees and fines and all that stuff. So felons don't have the means to be able to do that. And that's why LeBron is donating that money along with a lot of other people to allow felons full status. And, you know, I'm sure some of them have done awful, heinous things. But I think after you serve your time, you should be restored to full citizenship and have the opportunity to vote. Good for LeBron for jumping in there.
All right, Mace. Moderna, a New England biotech company, announced last week that they have entered phase 3 of a possible vaccine for COVID-19. This is the first American company to reach phase 3, and this phase will involve 30,000 volunteers.
Yeah.
The first phase involved 45 people, and it worked on all 45. If the phase 3 trial works, the vaccine could be available by December or January. Canada, which appears to be handling this way better than us,
yep,
has already cut a deal with Moderna for its vaccine whenever it becomes available. Is it too early to get excited about a story like this? Are you confident we will have a vaccine by 2021?
By 2021?
Yes.
No.
So by
I think we'll get it in 2021. It will be some point in 2021. And even once we get it, you know, it takes a long time apparently to distribute it. Like, I would think vulnerable people should get the first doses. Like, if you're a senior citizen, you should probably get a vaccine
young. We know how that works, and the first people to get it will be Hollywood actors and athletes.
And rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, rich people will get to the vaccine before anybody else. It'll take a while for it to get out. But I think it'll be – I think by the end of 2020 is ambitious. I think in 2021 – makes the most sense, at least if you listen to people like the lady with the scarf and Anthony Fauci. She always wears that scarf. Always. In my house, we call her Scarf. All right. Forbes has announced its list of the 50 most valuable sports franchises. John, take a shot and guess at the top 5 most valuable sports franchises in the world.
All right. So our European soccer teams involved in this?
They are, but I will tell you that none of them are in the top 5.
So in any order you want to put them, Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees, I think are all in the top 5.
Yankees, Cowboys are number 1. The Cowboys are worth $5.5 billion. The Yankees are number 2. They're worth $5 billion. And who was your third one?
Lakers.
And the Lakers are number 4 at $4.4 billion.
All right,
so you're missing number 3 and number 5.
Okay. I think a New York team's got to be – well, the Yankees are already there. All right, give me the Patriots. I think they may be in there.
No, not the Patriots.
Right, that's
they are number
one.
7. They're worth $4.1 billion.
Is at least one of the other two an NFL team?
Nope, they're both NBA teams.
Okay, so give me the Knicks.
The Knicks are number three, worth $4.6 billion.
Okay, and wow, who would the other one be? I'll go, just because I know they got a bunch of hedge fund guys, give me the Warriors.
The Warriors are at $4.3 billion, and I think part of that deal is that building.
Yep, because they own it. Yeah.
Yeah, since they own it. So, yeah, very valuable. So the top five go Dallas, Yankees, Knicks, Lakers, Warriors. The next five, Real Madrid, the Patriots, Barcelona, the New York Giants, and Manchester United. So those are the top 10 most valuable sports franchises in the world, according to Forbes. All right, coming up next, is she really covering the Chargers now too?
Yeah, but you don't really have to do that. You know, you don't. You can do, like, if you have 2 minutes, you can do a minute 45 on the Rams and do, like, the last 15 on the Chargers.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Coming up next, Lindsay Theory is going to join us. She had a confrontation with Jalen Ramsey.
I find this difficult to believe.
Yesterday, and we will play it back for Lindsay next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. By the way, shameless plug, I've got a great conversation with O'Shea Jackson Jr. online right now on the Culture Pop podcast. Go to stevemason.com and subscribe. Really, really good. Talks about, really opens up about his family, his career, and his life. That's stevemason.com. Go download and subscribe. Joining us right now is the woman, the reporter, who had a confrontation with Jalen Ramsey. I think this was yesterday.
Yeah, I need to hear this. This does not sound at all accurate. Do you have this thing you're calling a
confrontation?
Yeah,
Lindsay, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're going to play.
Lindsay, I hang up.
Yeah, Lindsay, this doesn't sound like you. Let me hear this.
We're going to play the confrontation between Lindsay Theory and Jalen Ramsey.
Is it important to you to have a new contract done before the season opener?
My agent and the front office, they'll handle all that.
Right. But I mean, just for you mentally going into the season, is it important for you to have that security before you step onto the field for a game to have an extension?
My agent and the front office, they'll handle that. Come on now, you know anything. You know, you got to take the answer I give you, man.
It is a fair question, though, considering –
Answer me. Oh, I said my agent and the front office, they're going to handle it. I'm worried about what I can worry about. I'm controlling what I can control. I answered the question. I'm not going to continue answering it just because I'm not answering it the way that y'all want me to. Either accept the answer or keep it pushing. I don't want to get disrespectful, but that's the answer.
There it is.
Wait a minute. Where was the confrontation?
Wait, it is a fair question.
You guys missed the end of it.
No, we didn't.
You guys did it. The ending was great, right?
It is a good question. It's a question that must be asked, Lindsay. It must be asked. I'm glad you were there. You really grilled him. And in the end, I think he came back, right? He stormed out of the Zoom call and then stormed back in.
Yeah, he did. Well, here's the thing, right? Gary Klein of the LA Times is the first reporter you heard there, and he asked a very pointed question. Do you want to have your contract in hand before the season starts? Is it important to you? Jalen's answer did not answer that question. He said it's between the Rams and my agent are going to handle that. Gary came back, asked his question again, worded slightly different, but still very pointed. And Jalen came back again and said the Rams and my agent will handle that. And then he, you know, said, come on, you have to take the answer we're going to give you. And while I understand Jalen's sentiment there, like, we don't have to take the answer he's going to give us. And in fact, it didn't answer the question. And I think that, you know, by the time Jalen kind of came, cut off my question, he actually did provide an answer that was solid. I mean, he said, I'm not worried about it, which would have answered Gary's question from the get-go. But to Jalen's credit, you know, he did walk off for 2+ minutes and had a conversation with Rams PR, and Jalen did come back. And then he really kind of gave some great insight, like probably about 2.5 minutes straight of just Jalen talking about his situation. And he said that he's not worried about his contract, that he's really focused on the season, and that everything's going to happen in God's time, which is what Jalen said. So, Hadi said, we eventually found out what's going on in Jalen's head, but man, sometimes it's tough to get there.
All right, Lindsay, let me ask you this. The Rams have, I think by any reasonable standard, paid some guys too early. They paid Todd Gurley too early. They paid Jared Goff too early. Do you think Jalen Ramsey's contract situation is being weighed against those other ones, and the fact that maybe the Rams have jumped the gun in the past and so they're going to be more cautious this time? Do you think those other contracts affect this one?
No, I don't, because those other contracts, what was unique about those with Jared and with Todd, those guys were paid going into their fourth season, so they had 2 seasons left. Jalen, this is the final year of his rookie deal, so this is typically when you would give a guy an extension. I know all the four players who were picked ahead of Jalen in that 2016 draft, including Jared Goff, all of them have contract extensions in hand. So this is kind of the perfect timing. I mean, COVID's financial fallout stuff aside, this is really the perfect timing and the typical timing to get a contract done for a guy going into his fifth year of his rookie deal.
So training camp has officially begun. First of all, are you also the Chargers beat writer now?
For now, it appears that way, doesn't it? Yeah. For a little bit longer, I think, yeah.
All right, okay. So Lindsay, I said to Mason, if they give you 2 minutes on ESPN, the proper way to do that is 1:45 on the Rams and 15 seconds on the Chargers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'm trying to be fair. I'm trying to go right down the middle. I don't want to be called out for favoring one or the other, so I'm trying to split my time evenly.
Now, have you been to training camp? How does that work for you?
You guys, I haven't left my house in I don't know how many weeks. I feel like a hamster, right? You sit at your desk all day, and then you go walk the Strand, and then you sit in your house all day, and you go, it's like a wheel that you just keep going on. We won't be at training camp until August 18th. That's when reporters can go and sit on the sideline and see what's going on.
All right, so this may be a question you have no idea how to answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you know how they filmed Hard Knocks? They couldn't have camera crews following these. Is it all on remote cameras, or how did they execute that?
Yeah, no, they do have camera crews following them around. A few of the guys have posted some videos to their Instagram accounts where you can see, like, the boom mics dropping in, and there are camera crews. The camera crew is probably just I can't say this for 100% certain, but it appears like the camera crews are just staying a little bit further away. And then as they have in years past, they do use, like, those robo cams that they mount in different rooms.
Well, it starts on Tuesday, which is hard to believe. Let's talk about the running back situation, which is interesting. Todd Gurley's gone. Malcolm Brown, you would think, would inherit the starter's job. Darrell Henderson, who was a third-round pick, is still there from 2 years ago. And Cam Akers, they spent a high pick on this year. I'm guessing that Cam Akers is going to wind up being the feature back. What do you think?
Yeah, Mace, that's interesting that you said that it seems like Malcolm Brown would kind of slide into that, just because I mean, Malcolm has proven to be a good player, but the Rams have invested a lot of money in picks, I should say, in running backs the last couple of years. I mean, they took Darrell Henderson in the third round last year, take Cam Akers in the second round this year. So it's a little bit hard to tell because of the unusual offseason. So Cam Akers is a rookie, might be a little bit behind the eight ball, but it would seem like he, given his kind of strength between the tackles, might be that feature back to every down back, and then Darrell Henderson would be the kind of the complimentary back, and then Malcolm Brown would kind of continue his role as a sure-handed veteran backup. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with whether or not Cam Akers can pick up everything, just because he didn't have the benefit of a normal offseason program.
We're talking to Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams and the Chargers for ESPN. Lindsay, how did Aaron Donald react when they came out with the rankings of the top players in football? A lot of people thought he would be number one. I think he came in at number three. Did he care?
You know, Aaron's never really going to say if he cared on stuff like that or not, but he's a competitor. He likes to be number one in everything. You know, I think Aaron knows how respected he is across the league, and quarterbacks are always going to get the nod. But Aaron, I don't think Aaron has any doubt in his own ability, whether or not he's number one or number three in those rankings.
Let's talk coordinators for a minute. That's one of the interesting elements of this season for the Rams. New offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell and new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. Do you feel like these guys just hit the ground running, and does the personnel match what they need to do philosophically?
Yeah, with Brandon Staley, it's going to be really interesting. As far as personnel, you know, they went out and got Leonard Floyd, who Brandon coached back when he was with the Chicago Bears. He was Leonard's outside linebackers coach there. So he's definitely someone that Brandon is familiar with. He's going to keep, you know, that 3-4 scheme, although it will look slightly different than what Wade Phillips deployed. You can expect just to have a few more adjustments out there. Brandon also does like to use a lot of defensive backs. So I think personnel-wise, they're going to be okay there. I mean, the biggest change that fans might notice is just simply, you know, they don't have Dante Fowler. They don't have Clay Matthews. So it's going to be kind of interesting just from a comparison standpoint, because the personnel is different, and right now the pass rushers just aren't proven guys. On the offensive side of the ball, Kevin O'Connell is also the de facto quarterbacks coach. I think that's going to be really interesting, because essentially this becomes the fifth quarterbacks coach that Jared's had in 5 seasons. So it's going to be interesting to see how Kevin affects Jared. But then also, he's just going to take a little bit of the load off Sean McVay's plate. So it might just kind of seem like maybe Sean will be able to be more of a head coach versus the last 2 seasons, when he's really also had to handle all of the offensive coordinator duties as well.
Okay, Lindsay, last thing for me. It's an etiquette question. Your wedding was supposed to be a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
You guys, okay. You won't let my dead weddings drop. Oh, my
no,
God. Every
I haven't,
time.
No, Lindsay, I have an etiquette question. So did anyone send you wedding presents? And if so, since you had to call it off because of COVID, what do? Do you keep
Good
them or
question.
Send them back?
Yeah, some friends sent, let's see, we already got like all of our bar accessories that we put on our registry. And I will tell you, we have used those. Those can
I would think.
Those have been the perfect COVID gift. But yeah, so we're keeping the things because our friends insisted we keep them.
Yeah, that's what I would want.
To Wedding 2.0. So, like, great. We got early gifts to enjoy, and they'll be at Wedding 2.0, and hopefully Wedding 2.0 happens, because if not, like, I don't know what's going to go on.
No, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Now,
it'll happen.
Now, the question, Lindsay, is if I'm assuming the people that sent you these gifts are close friends or family. Are they now, do you think they'll end up buying you a second gift at Wedding 2.0?
They are close friends, and no, I don't. I hope they don't, because that would, to me, be a bit absurd. Like,
I would
get the bride and groom.
I would. Like,
yeah, I would too. I would too. If I'd send something else.
Yeah, if you were my sister, there's no way, or like if you were like my best friend, there's no way I'm coming to 2.0 without a gift. So you just, because of COVID, you got two gifts.
But here's the thing, like, they are, like, a lot of these people already sent a nice gift, and then on the would-be wedding day, like, the amount of alcohol that was sent to our house is absurd. The flowers and the out, so it's like, a lot of these people bought gifts and then also sent that, and then they'd also be traveling to Santa Barbara, which is not necessarily the cheapest place ever, so,
right.
You know. It's tough that we had to cancel our wedding, but I certainly don't want people to, like, dump any more money.
No, I know you don't want to, but I'm going to tell you that it's one of the few, and there are, I can't think of more than two or three benefits of having your wedding canceled because of COVID, is you're going to get to double up on gifts. Mason, you'd send her a second gift, wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah. I wasn't invited the first time. I would have sent a gift the first time. Now maybe I'll get one the second time. Am I going to be invited to the second wedding?
For the record, we didn't even get invitations sent out on the first, and we were about to have to go print invitations, and then COVID hit, and we went, we're going to save that.
Was I on the list? Was I on the list?
Be honest.
You were on the list.
Nice.
Brenda Brown, she'll tell you. You're on the list.
All right. There you go, Mace. Get ready. Yeah, see, if just the fact you were on the list, you should send something now.
Yeah, no, I will send a gift now.
Yeah,
just let me know where you're registered. I'll send something over. Hey, Lindsay, good luck in training camp. We'll talk to you as this thing gets along.
All right, guys. Always appreciate the time.
All right, Lindsay. Okay, thanks. Cool. Bye. It sounds like you asked where she was registered. It sounds like she's registered at Liquor Barn.
Liquor Barn.
You know, speaking of weddings, you guys actually have a wedding invitation here for the two of you.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. You know what, Mace? It's your turn.
See, it's my turn?
Yeah, what we do is I did one of these right before COVID. Adam, we've always said that if people invite us to their weddings, we are the ideal wedding guests. We will never show up, but we'll get you something.
I actually know that firsthand, don't I, Mason?
Oh, that's right. You do. You do.
So, Wait, how do you know that it's an invitation? Did you open it already?
I did.
I told him to open any of our mail. Well, hey, Adam, what was the thing you opened that made you laugh? Do you want to wait and tell us next?
Yeah, let's wait and I'll tell you next.
Okay, cool. Of course, Lakers get blown out by Houston last night, 113-97. No LeBron, no JaVale, no Alex Caruso.
Which means no meaning in that game. It doesn't even count.
Terrible shooting night for the Lakers. In the last two games now, they are an astounding 7 for 56.
Try three Italian starters, whack down on Benzedrine and Grappa. This is nothing.
Nothing.
This is a walk in the park.
Walk in the park.
So I ask, listeners, what is your panic level with the Lakers? How do you feel about this team right now and the way they are shooting and the as sluggish as their offense has been?
Better now than in the playoffs.
877-710-ESPN. We'll get some calls in here next. 877-710-ESPN. Also, we'll hear from Adam on what our funny package is. And at 4:45, we've got Radio Tinder. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Height 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. By the way, the Dodgers, we talked to Dave Roberts a little bit earlier, coming off taking 2 out of 3 from the Padres. Dodgers off to a 9-4 start. Game behind the Cubs for best record in the NL. Giants, Dodgers, three-game series starting tonight. Julio Urias versus Jeff Samardzija tonight. Tomorrow, Kershaw versus Johnny Cueto. And Sunday, Walker Buehler versus Kevin Gausman. And, okay, start with Adam. What's the funny package that we got?
So yesterday I was in there doing a Laker game, and Adam opened a package that was addressed to Mason in Ireland. I just said, just open any all that stuff, and he wouldn't stop laughing. But I didn't want to know what it was. I walked out. So, Adam, what was it?
So it's an actual package, and when I was kind of like – when I had the package in my hand, there were items in it, and I thought maybe that – because I know earlier you guys talked about getting – Mason and Ireland face masks.
Yeah.
And they were soft, and I thought, oh, maybe these are those. I opened them up, and they are face masks, but they're for another sports talk radio show in the afternoon.
What do you mean?
They're Petros and Money face masks?
Exactly.
And they sent them to us?
Yes.
What would Petros and Matt send us those for?
Well, I don't know if they sent them. There's no return address, and this thing just came from a UPS store, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Could be anybody.
Just somebody stirring the pot. We like those guys.
That's okay. We like those guys. Where are our masks? Why didn't we do masks, Lindsay? You're the producer. Why didn't we do masks?
You never said that you wanted them.
No, I think we had that conversation.
Well, no, didn't you say you
didn't
want them
on? No, you said that you wanted to
print.
Yeah, you said you didn't want them, and you said that you wanted to print your own face on a mask and wear it.
That sounds like
it. And I guess we just assumed that somebody was going to make one and send it to you. So I think that's what Adam thought it was.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody. I'll give my home address. You can mail it to me. All right. So Lakers had a disastrous shooting night last night, John. And you
It's
have
nothing.
No level of concern whatsoever.
No, these games don't matter. The Lakers have already clinched first place. I'd rather have them shoot, go in a shooting slump now than in the playoffs. But you want to gauge level of panic? I'm all for it. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I'm not panicked in the least, but David in Hawthorne is on line one. Hey, David, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, David?
Hey, how you guys doing, John? How you doing, Mace? Big fans, listen to you guys all the time. You know, the panic level right now for me, I got to say, is a 5, but it's growing rapidly. I know these last couple games had no meaning whatsoever. We already clinched, but, you know, Danny Green, you know, our other shooters need to come
KCP.
Through. KCP. And you know what, the one that I do have high hopes for, guys? I'm going to call this right now, is Deion, a.k.a. Bubba / Philly Cheese Waiters. I really feel once the chemistry happens, he is going to flourish in the playoffs. But I got to be honest, and I'm a little panicking a little bit prior to the playoffs.
I almost pulled a – when Chick Hearn was doing the Laker games and Kobe was a young rookie, and Kobe used to take the ball and try and create space, just dribble around in circles until he could get a shot off. Chick would say, "Where are you going, Kobe?" And I found myself saying that the other night with Deion. Deion had the ball, and he was, like, dribbling left, and then he dribbled right. I was like, "Where are you going, Deion? Turn, shoots, 8-footer, good." I like him. I think he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he will shoot it from anywhere, that's for sure. He'll shoot it from anywhere.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, last night, the Lakers, at one point in the fourth quarter, were only down by 5.
Right.
And they got outshot behind the arc 63-6. So I think people forget that the Lakers are the best two-point team in the league. So it's a hard decision for them, Mace, to should they take wide open threes or take what the defense gives them, which a lot of times, like last night, they didn't have anybody taller than 6'7" guarding Anthony Davis.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Houston. But, for example, if they face Portland in the first round and they got Nurkic and they got Whiteside and they got Collins, I mean, if I'm Portland, what I'm going to do is bottle up Anthony Davis completely and make them shoot. Make the Lakers shoot because they're not a proficient three-point shooting team. Don't they just take the exact recipe from the Toronto game and throw it out there?
Here's what I would say the issue will be for Portland. You're right. They have a bunch of bodies to throw at Anthony Davis. But remember, Trevor Ariza opted out of the bubble.
True.
Who guards LeBron?
Yeah, it's fair.
Melo?
It's Melo. It's the new Slim Melo.
I don't think that can get it done.
It's Melo Light.
It's going to be some combination of Melo and Gary Trent.
Melo does look great. By the way, when I get out of this pandemic, I'm going to look like Melo.
How much do you weigh over what you said you were going to weigh right now?
I weigh 207, and I'm getting back down to 195.
Yeah, I thought you said you wanted to go to 185. Is it 195?
195, yeah.
That's, you're plus 12. That's
I'm plus
bad.
12. I'm going to get there. I will.
Bad.
It'll be new Slim Mace, new Slim Melo.
Yeah, you'll be within striking distance. But that's going to be Portland's issue, is how do they guard LeBron?
Coming up next for you, Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff for us. She will throw it out here next, and we'll let you know that at the top of the hour, at 5:15, Gotham Chopra will join us. He's working on a monster documentary series for ESPN about Tom Brady. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. Also a huge NBA guy. We'll talk some NBA with Gotham as well. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, let's do some Radio Tinder. Linz has a bunch of stuff for us. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys, we're going to start with one of the most famous festival rallies, whatever you want to call it, in the country. And coronavirus, it's not stopping Sturgis. The 80th annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally is going on as planned, and it actually officially started today. 250,000 bikers from all over the country are expected to gather in the South Dakota town for the 10-day event, which would make it the largest public gathering since the pandemic began. Many of the original musical acts withdrew due to coronavirus concerns, so organizers scrambled to fill the lineup with acts like Smash Mouth, Lit, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and Andrew Dice Clay. Sounds like a blast. Are you guys shocked that Sturgis is still happening this year? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right, not the slightest bit surprised. That is a crowd that goes its own way. I've actually been to Sturgis for this rally. My Juan's sister got married there. It is an unbelievable scene. All
she got
those
married
bikers.
At the motorcycle
She got married at the motorcycle rally in Sturgis. Yes, she did. Quite a classy affair. It doesn't surprise me at all that they're going on with that. I'm sure it's going to be like one of these super, it's exactly what we're not supposed to be doing, but what are you going to say to these guys?
You say to them, the festival's canceled. I actually am surprised, Lindsay, that they're doing it.
I'm surprised too.
250,000 people is a tremendous health hazard. I'm surprised that somebody in local or state government hasn't pulled the plug on this thing. And it's another bad example of how Americans don't get it. Do you think that this would go on in Canada? No, they'd cancel it. I'm nothing against motorcycle riders. I think they should.
What do you have against the motorcycle people, John? What do you have against bikers?
They should pick it up next year. That's what I have against them.
I totally agree. But I'm not surprised at all that they're going forward.
Some of the comments on the Sturgis Facebook page were classic. They had like, F COVID-19, I'm going to Sturgis. One of them said something like, God, Trump, and Sturgis. And I was just like, oh, geez, these people, they just don't get it. So I guess if after seeing those, I'm kind of not surprised. All right, next one here. Egyptian experts have hit back at Elon Musk after the SpaceX founder tweeted about a conspiracy theory that aliens built the pyramids. Quote, aliens built the pyramids, Musk wrote. The Great Pyramid was the tallest structure made by humans for 3,800 years, unquote. Of course, scientists are still unsure how the Egyptian pyramids were constructed before modern technology. But do you guys agree with Elon Musk that the aliens built them? Swipe left or swipe right.
Let me answer your question, Lindsay, with a question. Do you have any evidence that aliens did not build the pyramids?
No, not at all.
There you go. There's the heart of a conspiracy theory. You can't unprove it. I'm with Elon Musk. Why not?
I am not with Elon Musk on this one. I've been to the pyramids. They are built on a plateau, and reportedly, after a ton of rain and flooding, they were able to float these gigantic blocks to the pyramid in Giza, to the plateau in Giza, and that's how they were able to build it over a thousand years they were able to build it. I don't go for what Elon Musk is selling on this one. I know John wants UFOs to be the answer to everything, but
they are the answer to everything. What's wrong with you?
To me, they just make, it makes more sense that saying that the aliens did it. Period.
By the way, pyramids. If you ever get the chance, they are so much bigger, so much crazier than you think. It's an unbelievable thing to see.
Or you can just go to the Luxor in Las Vegas and see a pyramid.
And it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
The aliens definitely built those in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Vegas and money, banks and laundromats are scrambling right now. Arcades and gumball machine operators are bracing for the worst. Grocery stores are rounding their prices to even dollars or just completely rejecting cash altogether. The specter of the coin shortage lurks everywhere. Due to COVID-19, the U.S. Mint cut back on coin production this spring to keep its workers safe. And meanwhile, the economy isn't exactly flowing these days. This has many experts wondering something that I'll ask you guys. Is it time to just kill the penny? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, swipe right. Pennies are useless. What a useless waste of time pennies are.
Think about when's the last time you used a penny?
Never.
We don't need them.
I don't use change. I think we should get rid of change. Just round up to the nearest dollar. Round up to the nearest dollar.
Well, you know what? The pandemic may get that done for you.
Yeah, I know we're running out of change.
Well, think about it. People don't want to hand change to another person.
I don't want to carry money. I don't want to carry change. I've got Apple Pay. I've got credit cards. I've got an ATM card. That is enough for me. I think it's a pain in the ass carrying cash, and especially a pain in the ass dealing with change.
Yeah, I think that they should just stop making pennies today and let them phase out on their own.
Well, maybe they just won't start making them again. You know what's funny? My dad told me in Illinois, there's a gas station that he went to that had like a sign up. They weren't accepting cash. And apparently there's some law with like the treasury federal note that if a place does not accept cash, you know, U.S. money, U.S. dollars, that you don't actually, if you go in and try and give it to them and they don't accept it, then consider the debt settled because it's illegal for them to not accept cash.
Interesting.
So that's a tip. If you guys ever go somewhere and they say they're not taking cash,
you know, that's going to be the one place, Illinois, where they'll never get rid of the penny. You know why?
Because Lincoln's on it.
Is it Lincoln?
Yep. Land of Lincoln.
Land of Lincoln.
Yep. All right, and last one here, guys. The pandemic is apparently ruining everyone's sex lives. According to a paper published in the journal Leisure Sciences, less and worse sex were among the biggest trends researchers observed during this time. Among those surveyed for the study, 43% of the participants reported an overall decline in their sex lives. Has coronavirus negatively impacted your sex lives? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. We're like rabbits over here.
Oh, God. I've actually, in all seriousness to your question, I've actually found the opposite is true.
Meaning what?
Because you're home more. Well, and I travel a lot. You have more sex, right?
Right. You would normally be on the road right now.
Yeah.
So you're among the 14% that said that there is actually increased and improved.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mine is definitely, I'm definitely in the 14%.
I don't know. I've never had sex with a bot.
And no bot was required.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I guess it depends if you're not in a relationship. I could totally see why that would be the case.
By the way,
though,
can I just say, that's one of the things, you know, I feel bad for a lot of people who are dealing with, like, I feel bad for kids who aren't able to go to school or weren't able to graduate. I feel bad for people like Lindsay who had a big wedding planned, dream wedding, and that had to be postponed.
Lindsay
Theory. Yeah. What did I say?
Lindsay, but I think people...
You just said Lindsay.
Oh, yeah, Lindsay. Lindsay Theory. I feel bad for, like, seniors who should be out there living their lives, who are locked into their homes, all that kind of stuff. There's just a lot. And I feel bad for single people. I feel bad for single people who are alone in their house or their apartment and can't mix, can't see people. I mean, I think there are a lot of social casualties to this crisis. And I feel bad for a lot of people and the people that aren't working. That's the other thing. So many people aren't working right now. It's just rough out there. We're really fortunate. We're really lucky. They're but for the grace of God, you know. By the way, this wedding that Adam just sent me, this is the Paula and Skylar wedding.
Okay.
The website that they linked me to doesn't work, so I can't give a gift. So if you are Paula and or Skylar, go ahead and DM me, and I'll figure out how to get you a gift. But can't give a gift. Do you know
they
what today is?
They didn't send their registry. They're supposed to.
They sent a link to a website with their registry, but it's not operational. All right, coming up next for you. Biggest story of the day, Lakers struggle last night. Dodgers, we talked to Dave Roberts a little bit earlier. We will circle back to some of that Dodger stuff. And, John, it is the five-year anniversary of something very special. Do you know what that is?
Okay, let's see. Today is 2020, so it would be 2015, August of 2015. I have no idea.
Okay, I will tell you. It's memorable. I will tell you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.